Hello and welcome to Synopsis, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from OMFIF around the world, coming to you from OMFIF headquarters here in the City of London. I'm Julian Fraser. Today we're discussing the litany of challenges facing the International Monetary Fund and its new leadership, ever closer union in Europe, and the limits of conventional and unconventional monetary policy tools. All that and more besides, coming up next. And welcome to this week's edition of Synopsis. In a two-part series to mark the occasion of the annual meetings in Washington of the IMF and World Bank Group, OMFIF US Chair Mark Serr will examine the key ongoing business and future challenges facing new IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva. Europe and Japan remain mired in doldrums, Germany is probably in recession, the UK's exit from the EU weighs on the continent, and Japan will be hit in the near term by consumption tax increases. The US is a bright spot, with consumption growth buoying activity, but is slowing to potential and many signs point downwards. Subdued growth and trade wars will harm emerging markets and low-income countries. China has been the key global growth engine for the last decade, but its sustainable growth rate is falling and excessive growth targets can only be met with risky credit expansion that slows the necessary transition to consumption and services. The grinding down of the global economy raises deeper concerns. Japan has long faced low growth and borderline deflation. The euro area may be closely following Japan's footsteps as it overburdens an increasingly exhausted monetary policy and seems incapable of using fiscal policy to support activity or improving central institutions to build a more optimal currency union. As potential growth declines in the US, it may only lag a few years behind. Demographics and aging present challenges to future productivity growth. It is little wonder economists fret about the next shock and speak of stall speed, Japanification, and secular stagnation. Many prominent voices are searching for answers as to how future fiscal and monetary policy should be conducted. The question now is whether the IMF can be a preeminent voice in finding solutions to those challenges. There besides, important decisions must be made regarding the fund's imperiled resource base. US President Donald Trump's administration will not support an IMF quota increase, largely because it does not want to see a strengthening in China's position. China's voting power is around 6%, yet it accounts for more than 15% of the global economy. It deserves a boost in return for good reforms. Meanwhile, US legislation provides that the country must withdraw in 2022 from the fund's new arrangements to borrow, a $250 billion emergency backstop for IMF quotas, unless Congress acts otherwise. Bilateral borrowings of $435 billion, the final defense after the NAB, could expire next year. The loss of NAB and bilateral resources would leave the IMF dangerously underfunded. Behind the scenes, the US is gearing up to back a doubling of the NAB. That, along with maintenance of a portion of the bilateral borrowings, should allow the fund to maintain its overall resource envelope. Another future challenge is tackling debt sustainability and transparency amid a new creditor landscape. Emerging market restructurings face a more widely disparate and dispersed creditor base, alongside uncertainties about creditor hierarchies and seniority, given collateralization and questions about the perimeter between official and private sector debt. Debt restructurings may need to go deeper, even in the face of private creditors willing to take losses, to give countries a better chance to restore sustainability. The fund has been working intensively behind the scenes with China and others, but it must improve its efforts amid this new official creditor landscape to ensure low-income country debt sustainability. Perhaps, though, the greatest challenge is the jeopardy facing the fund's raison d'etre. The IMF was created to foster global monetary cooperation, secure financial stability, facilitate international trade, promote sustainable growth and reduce poverty. And yet today, the fund faces stall speed and stagnation, trade wars, waning globalization, and a weakening of its central global systemic role. These are a direct hit on the spirit of multilateral cooperation that lie at the heart of the fund's decades of success in support of the international monetary and financial system. Turning from events in Washington to goings-on on this side of the Atlantic, this week OMFIF's Chris Papadopoulos wrote about centralization in Europe and the future of ever closer union. European opinion is split broadly into two camps, those who believe Britain's vote to leave the EU is evidence that centralisation has gone too far, and those who think Brexit is evidence it has not gone far enough. There are advantages to closer union. Fiscal transfers will resolve some of the macroeconomic imbalances between Northern and Southern Europe. Completing the banking union and having cross-border depositor insurance would end the doom loop between banks and their respective sovereigns. The Capital Markets Union held promise, but is a far less exciting project without London involved. Nevertheless, the ever-closer unionists must tread with caution. The ECB's first chief economist, Otmar Issing, said at a recent seminar, "Loss of monetary sovereignty was a huge step. Loss of fiscal sovereignty is a step too far." The macroeconomic consensus favours fiscal easing in Europe, but those countries with fiscal room are not the ones in most need of reflation, giving economic weight to the argument behind transfers. Brexit will make creating the infrastructure for fiscal union easier. Those countries that have resisted centralisation have lost a major ally. The fear of the old guard of Europe is that, even if ambitions for fiscal union are thwarted by national politics, European commissioners will take to imaginative use of the ECB's balance sheet and blur the line between fiscal and monetary policy. The terms helicopter money and monetary financing are less cryptic today than they were several years ago. These kinds of actions allow fiscal policy to be conducted without calling it such, giving EU leaders a way to bypass the usual treaty obligations. Policies that start out as obscure and unthinkable only seem so until political and economic developments make them inevitable. The new slowdown in the world economy may give the fiscal unionists the impetus they need to drive on. In the latest installment in our In Conversation podcast series, Mark Sobel spoke with Jean Bavoin, Managing Director and Head of Global Research at the BlackRock Investment Institute and former Deputy Governor of the Bank of Canada. They discussed the limits of conventional and unconventional monetary policy tools and prospects for closer cooperation between monetary and fiscal policy. You can listen to their conversation on the OMFIF website or wherever you get your podcasts. Looking ahead to next week, OMFIF is hosting two roundtables on Monday, October 21st. In London, we welcome Marouane El Abbassi, Governor of the Central Bank of Tunisia, who will discuss the economic outlook for North Africa. And in New York, Fernanda Netshio, Deputy Governor for International Affairs at the Brazilian Central Bank, will discuss the country's economic outlook in the wider Latin American context. More details about those meetings can be found on the OMFIF website, and links to the relevant webpages regarding everything mentioned are also included in the description of this podcast. Next week will be an especially busy one for monetary policymakers the world over, with 12 central banks convening. These include the central banks of Chile, Norway, and Indonesia, to name just a few, as well as the aforementioned European Central Bank. And that is all for this week's edition of the OMFIF Synopsis. To read in greater detail about what we've discussed, visit www.omfif.org. And if you'd like to receive our editorial output and details about forthcoming meetings, sign up at omfif.org/subscribe. I'm Julian Fraser. Thank you for listening.